We're starting in the middle of Nun Amabet, the two dots. Mutar bebeta tormita. Okay, remember we had the Mishnah who was talking about if you're noder min hamavushal, something cooked. So it doesn't include this beta tormita and the dla taramutza, which we're going to get to what these things are. So my beta tormita, Amar Shmuel avda davidle shave alfa dinare. If I could, like any eved who can prepare this for me is worth 1,000 dinarim. Okay, it was a delicacy apparently. Uma'ayala alfi zimna. Now they're going to explain. And this is the continuation of Shmuel's statement. They brought in Shmuel's statement because within his statement he explained what it was. Uma'ayala alfa zimne b'maya chamime. They would put it 1,000 times in mayim chamim, in hot water. Va'alfa zimne b'maya karire. And then 1,000 times in cold water. It was reminding me about hard-boiled eggs. You know how you boil them and then you're supposed to put them in cold water after? Exactly. Adi mitzutra, until it shrivels up till it's very small. Kihechi debalita, so that you can swallow it. Okay, it's so small that you can just swallow it in one gulp. Vim, and here's the big thing about it. Why is it so special? Vim it kiva sarich ala. If you have some sort of lesion in your intestines, when you swallow this egg, the lesion will stick to it. Get this one. Vikadnafka. And when it comes out, yada asya maisama mitbaile. When it comes out, it kind of attaches, like something from the lesion comes out. It's almost like a biopsy. You know, like you can, that's how you get a part out of your body, basically.
It's like the owl. You know how the owl pellet?
Okay. So, right, like a pellet. So basically, it would go in, come out with this thing, part of the lesion on it, and then they'd be able to know what kind of drug you needed to help resolve your issue. Ubemai mitze, mitabebe ubemai mitze. In other words, they would know what drug you would need it and how you would cure it. Shmuel have a badik nafshe bekulcha. Shmuel would also check himself using a stalk of, I don't know if it says what kind of stalk it is. Right? But this is like a different way that he would do it. He would swallow this stalk. Adimitzaren, and it was so painful to swallow this stalk that adimitzaren inshebete ale saarehon. They would pull their hair out when they would see him cringing in such pain from having swallowed this stalk, but yet it would help him. In other words, it would have the same effects as this beitza tormita. Tnan hatam. Okay, now we're getting back to different. Here's another mission where it talks about different terminology for similar things. So now these are different types of figs. So if you're a worker and you're working in the fields picking something, then you're allowed to eat what you're picking from. But if you're oseh beklufsin, lo yochal bebenot sheva. Bebenot sheva, lo yochal beklufsin. These are different types of figs. So if you're picking these types of figs, you know, one type, you can't pick the other type. In general, the Benot Sheva were considered a better strain of figs. You'll see in a minute. My klufsin, mina de te'ene de avdim minhon lifte. You would make compote with it. So it wasn't like you ate them fresh. You would more cook them up. Hahu gavra de yav avda lechavre, agmure alfa mine lafte. So there was a guy who gave his, yav avda lechavre, he gave his Eved to his friend to teach him 1,000 types of compote that he could make. Okay, so he basically gives his friend the Eved. The friend pays for the slave to teach him these 1,000 ways of making this compote. But what happens? Okay, interestingly enough, Agmere Timne Mea. He only taught him 800 different recipes he could make with it. Azmine Ledina. So the guy brings him to court and he says, hey, I took this Eved to teach me 1,000 ways and he only taught me 800 ways.
I think, according to this, it's the friend teaching the servant, not the servant teaching the friend.
Yaiv Avda Lechavri. He gave his Eved to his friend to teach him. Ah, I see. Okay, fine. Thank you for the correction. Right. He gave his Eved to his friend so that the Eved would learn how to make the compote. So Azmanei Ledina Lekameja Rabbi. He brings him to court in front of Rabbi. The friend brings the other friend. Amrale Rabbi Avotenu, right, because of the Eved. They don't bring the Eved to court. It was between the two guys. Amar Rabbi says, Avotenu Amru Nishenu Tova. Anu afilu be'einenu lo ra'inu. Okay, this is from Eicha. V'tiznach mishalom nafshi nashiti tova. What does this mean? It means we once saw how good life was, and now we no longer see how good life was. And what does he say? That was at the time of the Churban, right? Now he says, for me, I never even saw how great life could be. I didn't even know that there were 1,000 types of, you know, comfort. So we haven't even seen, you know, all this glory. So, and that's the end of the story. He doesn't even judge the case. You know, he basically, I think, dismisses the case and says, give me a break.
Couldn't you read this as being very sarcastic?
Yes. Yes, he's being somewhat sarcastic. But I think it's not necessarily sarcasm. I think what he's saying is you've gone over the deep end. Like, you've lost sight of reality. You know, this is your reality. Like, there's something wrong here. Okay, now we're going to hear some stories about Rebbe. And maybe because of the next story, I feel like he's not being sarcastic, because Rebbe takes tzchok very seriously, we're going to see. Okay, so think about it, because that's why I didn't want to translate it as sarcasm, because what we're going to see now is he basically has this issue with Bar Kappara. The Bar Kappara always makes him laugh, and he doesn't want him to make him laugh. He wants to maintain a serious approach and not really use humor. So that's why it seems unlikely that it was humorous when he said it. Rebbe Avad Lehi Lula L'Rabbi Shimon Berei. L'Rabbi Shimon Berei. Okay, Rebbe made, it is his son, that's why I accidentally said that, but Rebbe makes a wedding party for Rebbe Shimon, his son. Katav Al Bei Ganana, somebody wrote on the canopy itself, Esrim Ba'arba'a, here's our 24, okay? Esrim Ba'arba'a Alfin Riboin, okay? 24,000, right? 100,000, I guess it is. 24,000?
240 million.
240 million, okay. 240 million dinarim, okay? Money was snafku al bay ganana. By the way, you know, after Rebbe just said we've never seen Tova, right? I don't know the right? Clearly, first of all, remember, he was the Nasi. He was wealthy. It's not like he wasn't wealthy. And, you know, I think his point was, even I haven't seen this kind of wealth. But here we see, you know, at least I'm sure this is a bit of an exaggeration, but, you know, they said all this money was spent on this chuppah. Al Beit Ganana Den, V'lo Azmanei L'Bar Kappara. And Bar Kappara wasn't invited. Well, like, you couldn't spend the money on the one extra guy, okay? Bar Kappara is very insulted that he's not married. Whether he's not invited, whether he wrote this or someone else wrote it about him, it's unclear. Amar Le, so Bar Kappara says to him, oh, sorry, V'lozene the Bar Kappara, right, okay. Amar Le, im lo'ovrei ritzono, kach lo, im lo'ovrei ritzono, kach lo'osei ritzono al achakam v'kama. Okay, if for those who don't do the will of God, it goes like this, you know, they're so wealthy, then lo'osei ritzono al achakam v'kama. First of all, very insulting statement to Rebbe. He's not osei ritzono Hashem, but I think his point is, if you didn't invite me, that's going against ritzono Hashem. Okay, this is how seriously people take not getting invited to smachot, right? We all have gone through this in one form or the other. Okay, so what happens here? Azmane. So he invites him. Amar, now Bar Kappara changes his line. He says, Amar lo seritzano ba'olam hazeh kach lo olam haba alachak b'kama b'kama. Sorry, lo seritzano ba'olam hazeh kach, if this is what lo seritzano ba'olam hazeh get, because now he becomes an osei ratzon because he invited him, then lo olam haba alachak kama b'kama. Think of how great it's going to be in the world to come. Yom ha'demachayach be'rebi ad ye'poranuta la'alma. Okay, now, Rebbe, this is why he took tzchok very seriously, because whenever he would laugh and make fun and mock and anything like that, poranut would come to the world, okay? Bad things would happen. Amar le Bar Kappara, lo tavdichon. Okay, don't make me laugh. And if you don't make me laugh, v'yavina lach arba agrivechite. I'll bring you 40 se'av chitim, okay, if you stop making me laugh. Because basically, every time you make me laugh, bad things happen to the world, and I don't want you to make me laugh. I have to take life seriously. I have to be serious about things, right? This is like a bit of a debate, I think, in the Gemara between, is it good to have a sense of humor, or if you're a leader, or is it good to just kind of focus and be serious and not, you know, keep humor out of it?
Interesting that such a great man like Rebbe couldn't control himself.
That he said, don't make me laugh. Like, you should learn not to laugh.
To say to somebody, don't make me laugh. Mm-hmm. You should be able to control yourself.
Right. Right. But I think what he was trying to say is, I want a serious environment. I don't want, You'll see Barkapar is a bit of a nudnik to him, okay? He's, you know... now, could be Barkapar thought, like, my goal is to make you laugh. Like, it's a good thing. You know, some of the Mefreshim look at it as Barkapar was... It wasn't like he was just dumb joking around. He thought that there's value to being happy, and right, you see this all over in the world. Is happiness a good thing? Is it, you know, mitzvah gedol aliyah b'simcha? There's that whole, you know, slew of people, and then there's the other group of people that think no, you have to be totally serious, and if you're, you know, a leader especially, you have to.
I think
be
he also
very
was a very intense person who says like accepted the suffering of himself to atone for others. So I feel like he probably. Didn't want, levity. He wanted
right. It could be he was a particular type of leader,
yeah,
and that was his
right.
approach. So anyway, he says, "I'll give you 40 se'av chita if you don't make me laugh." Amale lech zemar de kol griya de beina shakilna. He says, "You'll go and see that I'm going to get everything that's right. This is I'm going to get everything that's
take as much as I wish.
Take as much as I wish." What he's saying that
meaning is when as much wheat,
right? Okay, so I will get right, which I think he really means. You'll see. I won't make you laugh. Shachal di kula rabba. He takes a basket, a big basket. Chafye kufra. He covers it with tar so that nothing will fall out of it, so he can collect his wheat. Visachve al reshe. Now, some people say this means he turned it upside down. Now, if you have a, right, it's like doing itself in the opposite. You're protecting it so that nothing will fall out, but then you're turning it upside down, which is totally, right, everything's obviously going to fall out if you keep it upside down. Some people say al reshe, he put it on his head, which also you could see would make someone laugh. Va'azava amrale, lecha limar arba'in grivechite derashinabach. So now he says, go give me the 40 se'av chitim that I can demand from you because I didn't make you laugh. But he comes with this basket upside down or on his head. So, achuch Rebbe. Rebbe obviously starts laughing. Amar lei, lavas hartich de lo tavdechan. Didn't I warn you not to make me laugh? Amar lei, chite derashina kanesivna. Now, nobody knows how to understand this line. What he basically is saying is, I'm still getting the chitim that are coming to me. So now, does this mean he owes him from something else? You know, they're coming to me from some other place, not because I didn't make you laugh, but for a different reason. Or, which seems unlikely, but some people explain it that way. Some people say, no, I didn't make you laugh until this point. So maybe I've made you laugh now, but until this point, I kept you not, you know, I didn't make you laugh. Which is also, you always think about behavioral charts with children. Like, to behave nicely, like, that doesn't help because at a certain point, they're not going to behave nicely. So you need, it needs to be, you know, by time or a particular action. Right, very fine. Here, it's the same kind of issue. So he says, look, you owe me because I didn't make you laugh yesterday or the day before. So, okay. Amalei Bar Kapara, now it's going to continue. Libarte de Rebbe. He goes to the daughter of Rebbe. Lemachar shatina chamra. Tomorrow I'm going to drink wine. Berikuda da'avuch. And your father's dancing. Ubekir kane de'imech. Your mother's, singing. Although Rashi says here b'mizigata, that she's going to pour me wine. Which actually makes more sense. Yeah. The translation there, I remember now, said singing. But Rashi says it's that she's going to pour me a cup of wine, which is going to make sense because that's going to follow in the story. Ben Elasa chatnei de Rebbe hava v'ashir gadol hava. Okay, now Ben Elasa, who was the son of, he was the son-in-law of Rebbe. He was married to the daughter that Bar Kapara said this to. He was an ashir gadol. Azmine lebehi lula de Rebbe Shimon b'Rebbe. So he invites, okay, Ben Elasa invites Bar Kapara to the wedding of Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rebbe. Amale Bar Kapara le Rebbe. Bar Kapara says to Rebbe, in the middle of the party, he starts shooting the breeze, you know, and asking him questions. My to'eva. Okay, so now you have to look at the psukim here, if you have them on the side. Okay, the first pasuk is, Isha sheyishkav et zachar mishkevei isha. Okay, homosexuality. To'ava as to'eva asu shnehem mojum tu temehem bam. Okay, it's considered a to'eva. So now he says, why is this called a to'eva? So, they say here, what's the meaning, what's the root of the word toeva? Kol de'amrle Rebbe de'achen hu toeva pircha bar kapara. Every single explanation Rebbe gave, bar kapara knocked it down. Amrle pershua at. So he says, fine, you don't like my explanation, so you explain to me. Amrle Titi de Betru Tirmali, Titi de Betru Tirmali Natla Achat. Okay. So fine. Now I get it. Teti debitru tirmali natla. Have your wife debitu, your wife, bring me a cup natla. Okay, a cup of wine. Atat ramile. Okay, so she brings it and pours it for him. Amrle le Rebbe. So now he says to Rebbe, kum rekodli diimalach hachi. So he says, go dance, and then I will tell you. Okay, hachi amar Rachmana, this is what the Torah said. Choeva, choe ataba. Okay, you've left the path, right? You've strayed. You've strayed to the wrong place, you know, and you got confused. Choe ataba, lekasa achrina, right? Lekasa achrina, sorry. Okay, this is the next part. So now, choe ataba, that's how he explains it. So now he wants to get his second cup of wine. In other words, he's using this as a ploy to basically get wine and make Rebbe dance.
Isn't it also incredible chutzpah?
Yes. So you'll see how the story ends. Oh, okay. You'll see how the story ends. Okay. So it's actually, there's a bunch of things to discuss here. We'll see if we have a little time at the end. So Lekasa Achrina for the next cup. Amarle, my tevel. Okay, where does tevel come up? This is when sex with an animal. A woman shouldn't have sex with an animal. Tevel hu. It's considered tevel. So he says, what's the root of the word tevel? Amarle ki nyana kadma. Okay, so the same thing happened like the last time, where Rebbe answers all these things, Bar Kapara knocks him down, then he says, have your wife bring me a cup of wine, and you go dance, and then I'll tell you. Amarle ivid li de omer lecha sorry, I'm struggling with all these words here. Okay, right. Ivid milashon ta'aseh. Ta'aseh li, like you did before. Okay, that's the part about the giving, you know, have the wife bring the cup of wine and you dance. Amarle tevel hu. What does it mean? Tvalin yeshba. Okay, there's all different ways of understanding this now. One way of saying tefillin like a tavlin, right? Tavlin like a spice. Is there a spice in it? Like what's the attraction at all? In other words, there's no spice to this kind of thing. It's a disgusting thing. Some people say no dafka, like it's like what kind of she's crazy that she thinks that there's a tavlin in this. In other words, she's totally off the beaten track, thinking that, you know, or off the path, thinking that there's a spice in this. Mishanya hagabia min kulhum biot. In other words, what's the attraction to her? How is this different from any other sexual relations? By the way, I don't know if you've picked up on this, but he's at the wedding of his son. Mm-hmm. And what's he doing? He's bringing up all these sexual concepts that are, like, you know, out there and inappropriate. And wait till you get to the last one. It's, you know, the tip of the iceberg. Okay. Amarle umay zima. Okay, there's two different interpretations. We'll go with one of them as to which zima he's talking about. So if you look at the Torah or here, they chose this pasuk. Al techalel et bitcha lahaznota. Okay, don't send your daughter off. Right here, he's at the wedding of. This is actually the wedding of his son, but still, like, remember, the daughter's husband invited him to the wedding. Okay, and this might affect why specifically. You'll see what happens. So don't send your daughter off lahasnota velo tiznehara tumalara zima. Okay, if you send your daughter off to znut, it will fill the world with the land with zima. So my zima, armale iviliki nyanakadma, do the same like you did before. Aved, okay, he does. He brings in the wine, he dances. Va armale zu mahi. That's what zima. Zu mahi. It's notricone, right? It's abbreviations. Zu, zi, ma, zo, ma, hi. Okay, each letter means a word. Now, what do they explain? So again, different explanations, but often they say, like, whose child is he? Because if you send your daughter off to znu, no one will know who the child belongs to. So you're going to have all these children that they're going to say, who are these children? Who do they belong to? Lo yachil ben elasa lemisbal. He couldn't handle it anymore. This ben elasa who invited him to the wedding, he said, die, you know, and I assume, because also he was talking about sending off his daughter to lose note, and he was married to the daughter of Rebbe. So interestingly enough, it's he who cracks and not Rebbe himself. Okay, maybe it shows the strength of Rebbe that he, you know, could get through this. You have to remember, at the beginning of the story also, he hadn't even invited Bar Kappara. Now you could see why maybe he didn't invite Bar Kappara to the wedding, right? He didn't want, right? You have these people in life that make these crude comments and you just don't want them around. And it could be that that's why Rebbe didn't want to invite him. No, that's Bar Kamsa. Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Yeah. You know what? When I read it and he wasn't invited, this is like a good example of associations in our head. Because I also, in my head, immediately I thought of Kamsa Bar Kamsa because he wasn't invited to the wedding. So it's just an association because it's also a bar and it just, and then I realized, oh wait, it's Bar Kappara, it's not Bar Kamsa. But I also had that association in my head. Okay.
Michelle, why do you think they included this story?
Okay, so let's finish it and then we can try to figure out why it's included. Okay, so now, so what has been, what's interesting, he doesn't kick him out, right? Like the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story where, you know, the guy gets kicked out, doesn't get him out. He doesn't kick him out. What does he do? Kam v'nafi kuvi intete mitaman. He and his wife leave the wedding. Okay, right? The wedding of her brother. Okay, so interesting, interesting story. Okay, so he basically leaves the wedding and that's his insult. Why do they bring this? You know, again, the whole Masechet is really talking about your words and your choice of words and what you do with words, and maybe this is like another damaging way that you can use your words to damage. You know, in the beginning it was to damage Rebbe and affect his mood, which was going to affect Klal Yisrael, and then just also, you know, being in a situation where it's just totally inappropriate. But, you know, and maybe people would say things. Yeah, again, it's hard to understand exactly what the story is doing here and why they bring it. And you know, again, did the story really happen like this? That's a whole separate thing. I'm sure it didn't. They want to bring across a message, like don't behave this way. Although it's kind of obvious. So
it's like, you know, if I went to a really decadent wedding and there was an obnoxious conversation there, I wouldn't even talk about it. Now it's in like the canon of our religion.
Right. Right. No, it's true. But, well, first of all, there's a little bit of drasha here, you know, what these words mean.
Yeah.
You know, there is some Torah in it. It's just done in an inappropriate manner.
I thought the train of thought was Rebbe, meaning Rebbe answered.
For sure that's the train of thought, right. Yes. But, again, there's a million things you could say about Rebbe. Why Dafka bring this is more of a question, what this is really doing here. And I think, again, you always have to, when you see Agadah Torah, there's different approaches to why Agadah Torah brought in. And I would rather go with the approach that there's something here underlying this story that relates to our broader Masechet, and or the, you know, whether it's the Perek, the Masechet, the, you know, more likely the Perek and what we're talking about. So, you know, again, I think it relates to the idea of watching your words and knowing when to use certain words and when not to use other words and what's appropriate in certain places and what's not appropriate. Like, you know, even Dibrat Torah, Nidarim Halach Achar Lashon B'nei Adam, and this one like his place and that one like his place. And, you know, each, like with Rebbe, you're not supposed to make him laugh. It's not appropriate. You know, you have to know who to speak to and how to speak to them in the proper way. And when you're in a particular place, how to speak in a way that's not offensive. I think it relates to the general concept of speech. That's the best I can come up with. I'm sure there's, you know, if we thought about it more, maybe we could come up with other things.
But it's also possible that we have no context because we don't know who this Bar Kappara is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was a real celebrity.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's why he was, like, maybe it was very hard not to laugh when he mm-hmm. spoke. Maybe it was a very
right.
big...
There's actually, you can read it, there's a whole thing about him. I didn't have a chance to look at it in the Koran. They take personalities and they talk about them. So there's a whole thing. It's in the personality section. It could be on the first page it comes up. Yeah. So anyway, if you want to glance at it, we can look and maybe see after class. Okay. Yeah. Does it say something in particular about him? Okay. You can... Anyway. Okay. I'll keep going on a little bit more because we're going to see more about Ben Elasa now. My Ben Elasa, Ditanya, Lolachinam, what else do we know about this guy Ben Elasa, the son-in-law of Rebbe? Lolachinam pizer Ben Elasad ma'otav, ela laharot behen tisporet shel kohen gadol. He spends all this money on a very fancy haircut, but he did it not stam to just throw away his money, but he wanted to show us what the tisporet of the Kohen Gadol was. Dichtiv kasom yechasmu et rashehem. And what does that mean, kasom yechasmu et rashehem? Tana, the Braita says, ke'en lulanit. My lulanit. Okay, they did it like a lulanit, so okay, that's very helpful. What's a lulanit? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, tisparta yechida'a. It's a unique haircut. Okay, still doesn't tell us. Hechidami, so what was the unique haircut like? Amarava, Rosho shel ze b'tzad ikaro shel ze v'haynu tisporet shel kohen gadol. Here you see a good masoret of something that they understood obviously at some earlier point, but then they didn't understand later. Like, oh yeah, it's a lulanit. What's a lulanit? Oh, it's a tisporet yichida. Oh, well, what's that? Oh, it's rosho shel ze b'tzad ikaro shel ze. Still, they don't know what that means. And then the Rambam and the Ravid, I think it is, have a different interpretation. The Rambam says it's really short hairs so that the edge of one doesn't reach the edge of the other. And some people say it's that they actually like shaved rows in their hair. And so that each level didn't reach, you know, the ends of one didn't reach the roots of the other. It was this like weird kind of haircut. Okay.
Sorry, these people sound so shallow. This is what they do with all their big money, you know, they have a huge wedding, they have stupid.
Yes. Well, they did, look, they lived in a wealthy society, but what they were trying to say is they did it for value. They did it for, you know, like this for, you know, was to show everyone what the tisporet of the Kohen Gadol was like. So he cut his hair in that way so everyone would understand. Still, right, it's quite strange. Yes, what do you want
to
add?
I want to go back to Shari.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was just reading
about the Bar Kapara. Right. Yeah.
So apparently he was a great scholar of Tanakh, and that Rabbi Ira Nasivik, Rabbi would actually consult him, but also had this reputation for having this very inappropriate sense of humor. So I'm wondering if one of the reasons why the story is here is sort of like a cautionary tale, that you might be a really great, even if a really great scholar has to be careful with his words,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know.
Right.
I'm
just thinking right now about what are all the Mishnayot we're dealing with and we're going to be dealing with today and further on is when you say a certain term, does it include everything that has to do with that term? Some things have to do with that term? What do you generally mean? And if you think about it, like you say the word Talmid Chacham, you have a certain image in mind. And does that include, we were just reading up last night on this rabbi who raped 20 women, who's accused of raping 20 women. Now, could you call this guy a rabbi? In other words, what does it mean to be a rabbi and rape 20 women? You know, we were having this discussion. If any of those women are married to Kohanim now, they're not allowed to marry their husbands anymore. Remember we learned that? Asur labal and asur labal. If you do it consensually, maybe the women did it consensually also, and then they can't go back to their husbands. And you know, and you think, that's a rabbi? Like I said, maybe he was careful not to do it with women who are married to Kohanim. You know, I don't know. But that's not a rabbi. That's not a term, rabbi. This is a Kabbalist in the north, I think, that accused of raping 20 women. It's been in the news the last few weeks. Yeah, really horrible. A well-known Kabbalist who was basically helping women with fertility issues and raped them, yeah. So you know, when you say Bar Kapara was this great scholar, but yet he had this sense of humor that was totally inappropriate, and do they work together? When you have a term that says Talmid Chacham, what does it include? What kind of Talmid Chacham? Someone who's all-around person, someone who, you know, like here, you could see. What do you mean he knew Tanakh, right? He knew the words of the Tanakh better than, he knew how to darshan them better than Rebbe did. But, you know, his disrespect or thinking that this is a funny sense of humor, like I was thinking about it, you know, someone who also, you know, he thinks his sense of humor is very funny, but it's very inappropriate and very, always sexual innuendos, and it's very, it makes people around him very uncomfortable. You know, so maybe that's what's going on here in terms of, you know, the what a term means. Does it include everything or not? Okay, thank you, Ani. On that note, we're going to move to the next Mishnah. Back to all these technical issues of what you mean when you say a certain thing. Hanoder mimaaseh kedera, ein asur ela mimaaseh retachta. Okay, something that you boiled up. A maaseh kedera is something that you boiled. Amar kon.
You did.
Oh, I skipped. Sorry. Whoops. I skipped the last part. Okay. Ubida delat haramutza. I forgot that we didn't learn about this delat haramutza. My delat haramutza. What's this delat haramutza? Amar Shmuel kara karkuzai. Okay. It's a gourd that comes from a place called Karkuzai. I think there's another interpretation that means something else, but it's basically like a type. Right. There's another explanation. There was a round pumpkin. Okay. But it describes a type of pumpkin rather than how you cook the pumpkin. Okay, there's two different ways you can describe it. So each describes it as a zan of, you know, what's the word? A strain. Thank you. A strain of gourd. Rav Ashi amar delat hatmuna beremetz. a remez. If you remember from Shabbat, they would do hatmana beremez. It's like a coals. They would cover something with the inside, almost like an electric blanket, you know, where there's heat inside of it, okay, with a coal inside of it, and that's how they would make it. And that's where it comes from, remutza. Etive Ravina la Rav Ashi. Ravina asks Rav Ashi a question. He says, wait a minute. It doesn't make sense, though, with this braita. What braita? Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Dalat Aramit, he Dalat Hamitzrit. Kilayim ima Yivanit, Kilayim ima Rimutza. Tiyuvta. Okay, so now what does he say? He brings this braita, which we end with a Tiyuvta. It's really a question of Rav Ashi. That he talks about this Dalat Aramit is the same as the Dalat Hamitzrit, and therefore wouldn't be an issue of Kilayim. But kilayim ma yivanit and kilayim ma rimutza. But if you take a dalat aramid and you put it together with a yivanit or with a rimutza, then you'll end up with, that will be called kilayim. They're not the same strain. So what do you see here? The rimutza is a strain and not how you cook it. So that's a problem for Rav Ashi's interpretation, even though Rav Ashi's interpretation obviously seems the most obvious with the word rimutza because of remez. Okay, new Mishnah. Hanoder mimaseh kedera en asur ele mimaseh retachta, right? It's only asur if it's something you boiled. Amar konam hayored lekedera shani to'em. If you say, will be forbidden to me anything that goes into a kedera that I will taste, asur b'chol hanaseh b'kedera. Okay, so if you say maaseh kedera, that means something that was boiled up. If you say anything that was put in a kedera, then it's anything that was made in a kedera, basically. Tanya, here's another braita. Hanoder min hayored lekedera. Asur b'yored le'ilfas. Okay, there's a nice picture in the Koran of what an ilfas is. It's called, in the Koran they call it a stew pot. Okay, so you can look at the picture here. And generally, things would cook very slowly in it. That's why it's called a stew pot. And often what they would do is they would first cook it in a kdera, and then they would put it in the ilfas after, to kind of keep it warm or have the cooking finish. So I guess it would take too long to cook it in there, so they would only put it in later. So if you're noder min hayored l'kedera, then you're also asur of anything that's in the ilfas, because anything that was in the ilfas went through the kedera. Shekvar yarad l'kedera, konam sheyored l'ilfas. Okay, min hayored l'ilfas, but if you say you're asur from anything going into the stew pot, then mutar b'yored l'kedera. Then something that went in the kedera would be permitted to you, because just because it went in the kedera doesn't mean it's going into the ilfas. Min hana'aseh b'kedera, mutar b'naseh b'ilfas. If it was done in a k'dera, then you're mutar b'naseh b'ilfas, because naseh b'k'dera means it was fully cooked in the k'dera. So therefore, if you put in the ilfas after, that wouldn't be right. Anything that's done in the ilfas means it wasn't fully cooked in the k'dera. Min ha-naseh b'ilfas, mutar b'naseh b'k'dera. If you say it was cooked in the ilfas, then it's mutar to something that was cooked in the k'dera. And let's say, with the Mefreshim explained here, even if it was cooked in the k'dera fully, and then you moved it to the ilfas, it still wouldn't be included in naaseh b'ilfas, because naaseh b'ilfas means it was cooked in the ilfas. And this was already cooked, it sounds like kachot Shabbat, ein bishul achar bishul, right? Once it's already cooked, it's no longer considered that you cooked it in there. It also comes up, by the way, by bishul akum. If something's fully cooked, and then the akum warms it, you know, or he cooks it fully, and then you do something in the process after it's already fully cooked, then that's useless. Right, you have to be involved in the process before it's fully cooked. Hanoder min hayored l'tanur. Ein asur ela b'pat. This is obviously different than our tanurim, because their tanurim, right, things that go into the tanur, remember they would put their breads on the sides of the tanur? So generally, hayored l'tanur meant bread. V'im amar kol ma'aseh tanur alai, asur b'chol anaseh b'tanur. But if you said any ma'aseh tanur, then it would be anything that went in the tanur. Min hakavush, something pickled. Ein asur, now we're going to get to a whole slew of Mishnayot that talk about what the main thing, when people say kavush, pickled, what do you usually mean? Right? You mean pickled, right? Pickles, like vegetables, pickled vegetables. So if you just say min hakavush, now what's the issue here? You have a ha'yidia, from the pickled stuff. Ein asur ela min hakavush shel yerek. But if you say, without the ha'yidia, okay, the, right, you just say, kavusha ani to'em, anything pickled that I eat, so then asur b'chol akvushim, then you'd be forbidden with, let's say, corned beef, right? That's pickled, but it's not, if you would say pickles, you don't generally mean corned beef, right? But but if you say anything pickled, well, then corned beef would be pickled, that would count. Mina shaluk, eino asur ela mina shaluk shel basar. So we had the shaluk before, whether it means really, really cooked or undercooked. So generally, what would we assume you mean? You must be talking about shaluk shel basar. And then they talk about how people generally ate meat raw, Okay, somewhat raw, like not fully cooked, which is strange. Some people actually have a different nusach, which says it actually means vegetables, because vegetables you parboil, right? You don't cook them fully, and it's vegetables and not meat. Shaluk she'ani to'em, asur b'chol ha'shlukim. Okay, but if you say it again in this general terminology, any shaluk that I eat, then it's anything that's boiled. Amar le Rav Acha b'reid Rav Avia le Rav Ashi. Amar dikavish mai. Dishalik mai, ditsali mai, dimaliach mai. Hechin mashme. What is intended by this? Now, what are you saying here? Di means shet, right? That is pickled. Now, when you say that, is does it mean? Does often when you say like babayit, okay? The word babayit means in the house, right? It includes the hayidia, but the hayidia is removed, right? So that's the question here. When you say that is pickled, does it include the ha'yidiyah or does it not? Okay, and that's the question here. Does it mean the kavush or not? Tibai, we don't know the answer. Okay, they didn't know how to grammatically deal with that word. New Mishnah. Min hatzali, eino asur ela min atzli shel basar. So again, the same slew of, you know, you say the roasted, what's the roasted? Ah, that's cooked, that's roasted meat. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Tzali she'ani to'em asur b'chol hatzluim. Okay, so then again, we're going to say any tzali that I roast, then anything roasted, like roasted vegetables. Min hamaliach, from the thing that's salted, ein asur ela min hamaliach shel dag. That was the main thing that they salted. They would eat this maluach, this dag maluach. Maliach she'ani to'em asur b'chol hameluchim. Okay, but if you say any maliach that I eat, then it's anything salted. Dag dagim she'ani to'em. There's a big difference of opinion what this means, dag dagim. Some people say it means either dag or dagim. Some people say that dag means a big fish and dagim means small fish. Some people say dag of the dagim, like the dag of the dagim. Okay, shani to'em. Asur bahen ben gedolim ben ktanim. Okay, you're forbidden, whether it's small fish or big fish. Ben meluchim ben tfalim, whether they're salted or whether they're unspiced or unsalted. Bein chayim, bein bevushalim, whether they're raw or whether they're cooked. Umutar b'tchiyat trufa, okay, if you have chopped up fish, because generally when you talk about fish, you're talking about a whole fish, not like a sardines, they call it, like chopped up sardines. Ubitzir, okay, or in the brine of the fish. Okay, this when we went to Vietnam, we learned all about this. We spoke to this guy at the Chabad who would come visiting to do the hechsher for the tuna. They make the tuna there that they bring back to America. And a big thing in Vietnam is this fish sauce. And what is it? They basically leave the fish there for a year until the fish basically disintegrate and turn into this like oil, this sauce. And he was trying to make this stuff kosher, but the problem was that the barrels, this is actually interesting kosher-wise, the barrels are used for all kinds of fish, not necessarily all kosher fish. And when you know, how does kashrut get transferred? By cooking. But kavush hareyukim mevushal. Pickling something is like mevushal. They put it with like vinegar and stuff. And it pickles it, and basically eventually it all falls apart and they end up with this fish sauce. And it's like a big delicacy there. It's what everybody eats. Like everything has fish sauce in it. So anyway, he couldn't kashrut. I don't know that you'd all be interested in it anyway. It sounds kind of disgusting. But anyway. So your mutar in this fish sauce. Hanoder minat sachana, if you're noder from the sachana, how do they translate? That's the sauce, I think, right? There's a difference between the sauce and the brine. How do they translate it by you? Oh, the sachana. Oh, right. So you know what? That's why. Okay, I got confused because there's a different nusach here. It should say bitzir ubimarayus. The marayus is the sauce, is the rotev, and the tzir is the. They say the tzir is the shuman of the dag, and the marayus is what comes out of the. One is the oil that the dag has in it, one is the oil, I guess, that comes out of it. I'm not sure exactly the difference between them. But anyway, your mutar and all those things, because that's not included when you say dag. You don't mean fish sauce or fish brine or fish oil. But if you know, der min tzachana, so tzachana was this mixture of salted fish that were mostly whole but also had chopped up fish in it. So then you're asur b'triyat trufa in that chopped up fish, umutar b'tzir b'morayus. But again, the tzir and the morayus wouldn't be included in this because that's already the oil and not the fish itself. Hanoder mitriyat trufa asur b'tzir b'morayus. Okay, but if you're noder on this chopped up fish, the assumption is the chopped up fish is already kind of juicy and like it has a lot of the oil in it. And then you'd be usher also in the Tzir and the Merayos. Tanya, Breita. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Dag Sha'ani Toem, Asur B'Gdolim U'Mutar B'Ktanim. Daga Sha'ani Toem, Asur B'Ktanim U'Mutar B'Gdolim. So here he says that dag refers to big fish and daga refers to small fish. And therefore, if you just say dag, you don't mean the small. And if you also say daga, you don't mean the little. You don't mean the big. Dag daga Sha'ani Toem, Asur Ben B'Gdolim Ben B'Ktanim. But if you say dag daga, then you're including both. Where do we know it's that dag is gadol? So here we're going to see. Right? It was a big fish who swallowed Yonah. Had to have been, right? Well, we'll see in a minute. They say, wait a minute. But if you're going to say dag is big and daga is small, look at the other pasuk. He was in the little fish. What do you mean he was in the little fish? He was just in a big fish. So they say, halokashya, get this one. Dilma palte dag gadol ubale dag katan. As maybe he was swallowed up by a big fish, but then eventually got swallowed up by, like he spit him out and he got swallowed up by a small fish. What you make of this, right? Whether why he would have gotten spit out and how on earth could a small fish have swallowed him up? Hard to understand, but that's what they're saying. I don't know what to make of it. But you see here they're struggling with the lashon. Ela v'hadaga asher b'yor meta. But wait a minute. It says the daga in makat dam. The daga asher b'yor meta. K'tanim metu g'dolim lo metu. You're all going to say only the small fish died. The big fish didn't die. Ela daga mashma g'dolim u'mashma k'tanim. Daga does mean both. In which case you could say that Yonah wasn't a big fish. So we're okay. We don't have to go that way. U'b'nidarim halacha chalashon b'nei adam. Okay, but when it comes to nidarim, we go by what people say. And people generally call daga little fish. Hanoder min atzachana, amar le'ravina le'rav Ashi, amar harei alai tzichin mai. What if you say tzichin, which is the plural of tzachana, and it's unclear what exactly your intent would be? Okay, would it include the other stuff or would it not? So they say tibai. We don't really know the answer to that. Okay, again, they're trying to pick all these lashonot. Okay, we'll start tomorrow. I guess we didn't get any farther than I was hoping, but we'll start tomorrow with milk and whey. If you say milk, do you mean whey? Or not? If you say milk, whey, do you mean milk? Okay, start with that.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.